Hey guys, welcome to episode one of PS Meet Me at Stage Door. My name is Libby and my co-host here is Victoria.
Hi.
So we're going to talk all things theatre today, but first we're going to introduce ourselves so you guys can get a little bit of an insight into who we are. So my name is Libby, I'm 21 and I went to drama school. And that's actually how me and Tori met. We met at drama school together, which we have a little bit of a story for you guys.
Yes, we met at the same drama school. So my name is Tori. I am 22, so I am just a little bit older than Libby over there. And Snitch. So I was just a little bit. So we met at drama school and I was the year above Libby over here. And we'll tell our story in a little bit. It's not a romantic story at all. So I guess we're just going to give you guys a little bit more of an insight about us and kind of a bit about why we decided to start this podcast. Mm. And yeah. I mean, I guess we'll start by telling the story of how we met each other and then kind of how it blossomed into this beautiful friendship and how we started this podcast.
Friendship.
So we met in, it would be my second year of drama school, so my second year of uni, and at my uni when you're in your fifth trimester, so in your second year, you do a musical. And we were doing the musical and it was, what was it? It was the night before opening day. It was the night before opening night.
Yeah.
And I had this, so I guess I kind of got to tell you what the show is to know why I had such a quick change. We were doing a show called The Pajama Game. And I was playing the role of Sadie Lee. Yes, I did make up her name because she didn't have a name. So I was playing Sadie Lee. And pretty much we went from, I had a very quick change from a song in the show called Hernando's Hideaway into like this kind of little rebellion kind of moment where I had a very large costume for Hernando's Hideaway. I had like four or five pieces of clothing that I had to change out of. And pretty much what happened was the costume for that, I had this sequined leotard that had these massive feathers. I had to change my bra because I had this sparkly red bra going on.
Ooh.
I had a skin-tight fishtail skirt with my beautiful gut hanging out. So that was beautiful.
Sexy.
And I also had to change my shoes. And in the process of doing that, I had a very quick change. We were in a room that had a grand piano. Didn't realize someone had left the piano open, and the girl that was helping me quick change, which in fact was not Libby.
No, it wasn't me.
But the girl that was helping me quick change, I pretty much bent down to change my shoes, and on the way down, smacked just above my left eye on the edge of the piano extremely hard. And so straight away it started bleeding and I was like, well, this is the final run. I was kind of in shock almost. I was just like, I just have to go. Like, I just have to get dressed and I just have to go. And like went out on stage and did the thing with like, I could feel there was blood on my face. I couldn't really see out of my left eye. It was a good fun time and, did it. And then once we were sitting down getting notes, I called over our stage manager and was like, hey, would it be okay if I go just because, like, I feel real dizzy, I have a massive lump on my head and blood running down my face? She was like, so of course she said I could leave. And then the next day when I came back for opening, I was assigned a carer. And my carer was Libby.
Me.
So she was pretty much following me around because I had quite a bad concussion. So she was pretty much following me around.
I was her little carer. I would like follow her around and make sure she's okay. I'm like, are you conscious, Tori?
And
are
giving
you okay?
me Powerade, I think. And like, I don't remember a whole lot. That was a whirlwind of a show.
And the reason I was actually there was because out in your first year, you get the option to help out with the musical. So I was an SM. An ASM, which is an assistant stage manager.
Yep.
So I was basically backstage helping with quick changes, opening curtains. So I was making sure Tori did not
die.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because we had a real intricate set, didn't we? All those big doors at the back and the table
huge.
That broke on opening night while someone was on it. Do you remember
that? Oh, yeah. And then I forgot to I forgot to put down the clamps on one of the tables and one of the people started to roll away. And they were like, okay, cool, I'm not going to get on the table in this run.
Like, my most vivid memory was the head injury. And in I'm Not At All In Love on the opening night, whoever was playing Babe that night, I can't remember who it was on opening night, sat on the table for I'm Not At All In Love and the table just collapsed. And there I was, not knowing what to do because I was one of the people that like pushed her around on the table and I was just trying to hold the table up because I don't think she realized that the table was broken.
Yeah.
And so we were just there like, oh God, like we cannot, it's collapsed in the middle. Oh, we cannot hold this table up. So that show was a fun time, but I guess that's kind of the cute little story of how we know each other. And then from there, we invited you to a party of ours, and we kind of just grew closer from there. We played D&D together for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right, guys. That we played D&D.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did.
We did. Not anymore.
But I guess, yeah, that's kind of the little cute story of how we met and blossomed into this beautiful friendship. And I guess we can tell you a little bit more about how we decided to do this podcast.
I guess I'd gone on another podcast a couple of weeks ago and it was so fun. It was such a good time and it's so, you know, talking about your experiences, your stories, it's a fun thing to do to share with people. And Tori has been wanting to do a podcast for about a year now, so she's been really wanting to do it for a long time.
But it's kind of like, it's very similar with like YouTube. I struggle to like, because I do have a YouTube channel, but it's only got a couple of videos on it because you've got to like really prepare yourself for it. You've got to be like, cool, I'm going to do my makeup. I'm going to get ready for whatever I'm going to be talking about today and stuff like that. But then it's like, with this, I feel like, also, because on YouTube, you're talking to yourself. You're not talking to someone. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, for example, when we start talking about a show or we start talking about something, it's just back and forth and we'll divulge for, you know, 2 hours worth of a conversation off of talking, you know, a new casting for a show. And so I was kind of like, for ages, I'd been wanting to do this. And I was like, but I don't really know if I want to do it by myself or how I'm going to even do it. I started looking into it a little bit, and one day I was just like, hey, Libby, you want to do a podcast with me?
And I was like, hey, Tori, yeah.
Because I was just like, she's like one of my best friends, and we do, like, our conversations just flow really easily, and we don't always necessarily agree or have the same opinions on stuff, which is kind of even better.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you don't have the same opinion, because if you do, it's kind of boring. I think that's the whole thing about this podcast is we want to look at different musicals, why we like them, why we don't like them, and also hear from you guys about what you guys really like and what you want us to talk about.
Because, I mean, I personally love, you know, a little bit of self-deprecation. So I love talking about my show mishaps and like what I kind of refer to as, I think this is a term that was coined, I'm doing air quotes, coined by Catherine Steele, but like bedtime stories, in that these are just like the things that you talk about, like, oh my God, do you remember that time when I was meant to go on for this and I didn't? Like, I don't know. I just love telling our personal stories. And I love when other people have those stories that they can share with us.
I think it makes it more relatable. And they're also really funny stories. We've definitely got a lot of bedtime stories for you guys. We've been in a couple of shows, a lot of shows. And with some very interesting mishaps.
Yeah.
I think we should actually talk about our favorite musicals, because I feel like that's a really good way to start.
Well, I guess because something that I wanted to broach is that, you know, your favorite musical versus the favorite production you've seen.
Yes. I think for me, my favorite musical, I've got a couple.
Yeah. Oh no. Tell us all. Tell us everything.
I feel like my favorite musicals are A Wicked and Les Mis, but that's purely for the power aspect of how moving it is, or the impact. And I think my favorite musical I've actually seen, it is between Wicked and it is between Muriel's Wedding, which is a new Australian musical. So if you're not from Australia, check it out. You can find it on Apple Music. Listen to the soundtrack. It is such a interesting, funny musical, and
it's definitely hashtag relatable.
Yes, I felt like I could so relate to the characters in it, and that's why I think it was my favorite one, because I related to Muriel. I related to, you know, the song she was singing was so heartbreaking, and Natalie Abbott, who actually went to same uni as us.
Our good acquaintance, Natalie Abbott. I've met her all of 3 times, but she's the most beautiful human being I've ever seen in my life.
Well, she was so great in it, and she did a brilliant job, and was so it was heart-wrenching, it was beautiful, it was funny, it had all the different things that you're looking for in a musical, which I found great. So I saw it 3 times, I think.
Oh wow.
I know. I don't know how it happened. People were like, do you want to come? I was like, yeah, why not? Like, I like it.
I saw it the once when I got offered tickets, actually, from our old drama school, from our old uni. Got offered tickets, and I actually, there is a moment in the musical where a select few audience members get to go on stage and be exciting. Part of Muriel's wedding, and it was like one of the funniest, like most exciting moments for me, because it's like being a part of it, but also knowing that you're not a part of it. And like the way the actors interacted with us, I was sitting there like, can't laugh, can't cry, just gonna do what they've told me to do. I'm like pretending to take photos with these fake phones. And it's a very good show.
It's a really good show.
Like the way that it's been written and the music, I will say the music is just so Aussie.
I know. I actually love Kate Miller-Heike, who wrote the music, mm-hmm. and I've been listening to her for years. So when she announced that she was doing the music for Muriel's Wedding, I was like, yes, because so many of her songs are just so witty. Yeah. She has some great lyrics. Her lyrics are just tongue-in-cheek, and yeah. she knows what she wants to talk about. And she
definitely has that style very kind of similar to Kate Bush kind of style, where it's not as quirky. I still think it's quirky, but yeah. I feel like Kate Bush is definitely like, whoo, she's a completely different, she's like really, whereas I feel like Kate Miller-Heike, she knows what she's saying.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't want to say it directly, she'll find a way to say it just like she writes almost like musical poetry.
And I think in her music and how she did Muriel's, it was really interesting, because you hear her solo music, it's super quirky, it's super insane, like she's very operatic, she's like,
oh, oh yeah, you know, I remember when I started doing singing lessons and I tried to do, what is it called?
Caught in the Crowd? Is that the
no,
one?
End of the World, you know, it's the end
yeah.
of the world. And I was trying to sing it, and I was always like, I can do this, I'm a princess. And I was like, oh, you're like listening, like thinking back to it now, I'm like, oh, the vocal modules I would have given myself trying to do that.
I know, but she tamed it back a lot for Muriel's, and I think she did a really good job of going from a pop genre into the music theatre genre. And I know she did opera beforehand, so she has a bit of knowledge about mm-hmm. about music theatre, and about, you know, especially because, you know, opera is kind of in the same realm as theatre. It's very different, and there's a lot you can go into about that.
Oh, yeah.
But in that way, she was very smart in how she wrote it, and it does fit the music theatre genre.
Yeah, and I think when I originally heard that it was going to be her, I was a little worried that it was going to be, you know, a little too quirky and not quite as understandable, but I feel like she did the blend so well.
Mm.
And for like a pop contemporary artist, even an opera artist, to write music for music theater, it can either work just seamlessly, because especially mm-hmm. I think for people that are good with their words. So mm-hmm. write that more poetry based music where it's like, these are the words and the music will work around it. They just understand the storytelling of it more. Like when I saw SpongeBob, the musical on Broadway.
Oh, yes.
Whilst, don't get me wrong, it was a fun show. But there were moments that I was like, I just felt kind of a bit of a disconnect between. I was like, yeah, this music is really boppy, but I actually have no idea what's happening in the plot right now.
That's really hard. And that's a balance that you have to achieve.
And I feel like that was also a little bit, whilst I love the idea that pretty much I think every song in that show, and feel free to correct me if I am wrong, but I feel like I'm pretty sure almost every show in SpongeBob is actually written by a different pop artist.
Oh.
So it can, there were moments where I was like, oh, the flow from that piece to that piece was just like, it was kind of uncomfortable. Like, I didn't feel like it seamlessly flowed through the story. And it doesn't necessarily have to, but there should be a way of linking it all.
Mm-hmm.
So that it kind of, at the end of it, you go, oh, okay, like, yeah, I get it. And I left being like, that was a fun show, but I didn't get a whole lot from out it. Of it. Yeah. Yeah.
What are your favorite musicals that you've seen / your actual favorite
For me, so one of my all-time favorite musicals would have to be Anastasia.
Oh, beautiful.
I love that show with all my heart, just like I also absolutely love, love, love Spring Awakening. Those are probably two of my all-time favorite shows. But in terms of the favorite production I've ever seen, that would actually have to be the Broadway revival of Once on This Island. That was just like a complete and utter like different experience, and like that was like a life-changing show for me. It was just like, so it was done at, I believe the theater is called Circle in the Square, so it's right near where Wicked plays on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I really didn't know what to expect going into it because I had actually chosen at the last minute to go see that show. I was going to enter the ticket raffle for that day. They weren't actually doing the ticket raffle that day, so I just ended up going and buying a ticket for it. But it is theater in the round, and I didn't listen to the music going, you know what, I'm just going to go in, see it, see what it's like, see what the story has to offer. Straight away, like walking into that theater, I was like, holy, like, Jesus Christ, like, this is just amazing. Like, the floor was covered in sand. There was half of a truck at the back end of the theater where the band was and where a lot of cast members come out of. They had like almost like a sewage drain that was filled with water that had water flowing into the theater. It was an experience, and it felt like everything happening throughout the show was represented not only by the actors and by the music, but by the set and the surroundings that it had. It was it was just a completely different experience. And because, you know, going into it and not have listening to it, like, of course, I adore Anastasia, and it is a beautiful show, and I've seen it twice on Broadway now, and I've met Christy Altimore twice, and she is like one, like, Christy Altimore and like Carrie Hope Fletcher are like two of my biggest icons, and I got to meet one of my like big idols. And
what was that like?
Christy Altimore is just like, she's just the most beautiful, like, little human being I have ever met. She is
pocket
so
full of talent.
She is. She's just so kind and so caring. And, like, you know, stage door, and 100% stage door is not guaranteed. The actors are not paid to do it. They do not have to do it if they don't want to. It's just a fun added bonus that you get if they decide to do it that day.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I went, Christy Altimore was there. And she would spend like 15, 20 minutes talking with people. Like, it wasn't like a thing of quick, gotta go down, gotta sign, gotta like get out of here. Like, just gotta do my job and like go home. She was genuinely interested and invested in the people that were coming to see her show and the people that were invested in her. And it was just, both times I met her, like the first time obviously was my first time meeting her, and I cried and she hugged me. Because it was just like an overwhelming thing, because her show, when I went to see Anastasia the first time, it was the first time that I had decided to stage door, so I wasn't really sure how it worked. I actually went out and bought my own Sharpies because I thought that I had to take them, but it turns out they have their own, and
so
they
stage,
bring their own.
Because I actually haven't been to America, so I haven't been to Broadway yet is the word. But what is it, the stage door experience like?
It's just an opportunity to, you know, and sometimes it is really quick. And like when I went to Mean Girls, a lot of those people came out and were like, I'm really sorry, I can't do photos tonight. Like, I'm in a rush, but I will happily go around and quickly sign your playbill for you. Mm. But for some shows, like with Anastasia, the cast actually come and they talk to you. It's just a completely different experience because you see these people on stage. And for me, I don't think it ruins the immersion at all. It's a completely, like, just meeting these people, and especially for people that work in theater like we do, it's just going, these are real people. They are no different to us. They get up in the morning, they, you know, they go to the gym, or they walk their dog, and they go and they perform that night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are the same as us. And even though I think Christy Altimore is like a goddess in human flesh, they are the same as us. And they want to interact with us. And I think the times that ruin it is when people get angry, being like, oh, you didn't, like, why won't you take a photo with me? I'm like, they are not paid to be here. They are, if they come out and see you at stage door, they want to be here. They want to meet you. If they don't have time to do it that night,
they also have lives.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They are normal people.
Yeah.
They have lives. And I think it's very different to like Hollywood celebrities. Whilst like, if you see a Hollywood celebrity in real life, people tend to swarm them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, I'm going to get your signature and I'm going to sell it on the internet. For theatre goers and people that do stage door, whilst it's that same level of excitement, but we are also so aware. They are people. They are human beings. They are there.
They've just
because they want to be there. They've just done like
a whole show.
A whole show. They are tired. They want to go home, but they also want to meet you and they want the chance. So thank you for coming and seeing their show. Because at the end of the day, the audience and the theatre goers is what keeps a show going. But I mean, that was a very long tangent from me talking about my favorite shows.
We go on lots of tangents here.
Oh, be prepared. We do. But no, ultimately, my two favorite musicals are Anastasia and Spring Awakening, and also Into the Woods. Just throw another one in there.
Oh, I love Into the Woods.
I love me some Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, we love some Stephen Sondheim.
I guess while we're here, we may also talk about just like very briefly, because, you know, maybe we'll do one whole episode on this. Who knows? But just kind of how we got into theater, into performing in the first place. So what about you, Libby? How did you get into theater?
Well, Tori.
Hi, welcome to PS Meet Me on Stage Doll.
But how I got into theater was definitely when I was a kid. I was pretty lucky where my grandfather, my pop, he was very into musicals. He used to do them when he actually did some down at Campbelltown just for fun, like recreational.
Oh, at Campbelltown Theatre Company?
Yeah, he did like OG, like Campbelltown Theatre Company shows. And so he would sit me down and I would watch My Fair Lady. I watched a lot of Audrey Hepburn films. I watched West Side Story, and I think West Side Story was when I went, wow, this is what I want to do. It was so impactful. And sitting down when I was probably like 7 or 8 when I watched that.
Yeah.
And I just knew that's what I wanted to do. And it was really interesting because growing up into year 12 and figuring out, you know, like I want to do this as a career, it was very hard because I was singing a lot. I was acting a lot. I knew that was what I wanted to do, but dancing I hadn't done so much. And there was always something I went, oh, I'm just going to go into acting then because I can't dance. And I feel like that has definitely changed. Like the stereotypes around that have changed in theater since then. So I just kind of one day I went, screw it. I'm just going to do it. You know, if I fail, I fail. But if I don't try, then I'm going to hate myself for it.
The stereotypes of around theater and it being a career have changed so much, probably in our, like personally in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when I was probably like 8 or something, to do musical theater, it was like you had to be this very specific kind of person. And there was only like this really small group of people and they were the people that were always getting hired. And whilst that still happens, anyone can do theater.
Mm-hmm.
And like you can create your own theater. And I feel like now in this place where, I mean, we do live in a country where theatre is not as plentiful as we would like it to be. And it's definitely hard to get new theatre off the ground. But more and more opportunities are starting to come to light. But it's very much a culture here in Australia where you, if you want to make it, you do have to create your own theatre and you do have to get yourself out there. You can't just go to catacall auditions and expect something to happen from it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think we all started at a, well, I mean, not everybody started at a young age. Some people just step into it when they're like in their 50s or 60s and do it for as long as they can.
Exactly. How did you get into theatre?
I mean, mine is a long story, so I will keep it short for now, but I, growing up, was a figure skater, so I always loved performing and I always loved singing. And then after a while doing like being a competitive figure skater, I just kind of decided that it became a chore, not something I enjoyed anymore.
Yeah.
And I started to get more into going to drama classes because I was very shy and just kind of started to branch out more. And I think I really personally started actually in theatre rather than in music theatre. Oh. So like the first kind of productions I did were straight plays, like The Crucible. And so I kind of just, I think my real awakening was I had seen musicals before. Like I had seen, I think, you know, Lion King, Cats, Phantom of the Opera. And then when I was like in year seven, we went and saw Wicked when it was here for the first time in Sydney. And it was that moment when the overture started.
Oh yeah, the overture kills me every time.
I, for no rhyme or reason, and I was so confused at the time, just started crying.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is beautiful. And when Elphaba started singing The Wizard and I just had this moment that I've spoken about so often where I was like, I can't sit here. Like, I need to be up there. That's where I belong. Mm-hmm. That's where I should be. Not necessarily as Elphaba. I have since seeing it for that first time realized I am not an Elphaba. I am a Glinda. but just being like, I don't care what I need to do. That is where I will be.
Yeah.
And so I kind of then from there, I looked into actually moving schools. And that's another story in itself, but moved to a performing arts high school. And then, you know, all the way through, I was kind of very set. Like I knew what I was going to do. I knew what school I was going to go to. And I actually auditioned for that school and got in, but couldn't afford it. And went,
yeah, hard.
Okay. Auditioned for another school that I wasn't as keen at. I wasn't as keen on that school. But then I actually met the choreographer and the head of studies and went, oh, I really like this environment and I really like these people. And when I actually got offered, when I got accepted into that school, I just went, this is the school that I belong at. This is where I can see myself, you know, being able to move forward. And whilst I don't think any school is perfect and every school has their own strength, I just felt so comfortable at the start with that school. And because it is a rude awakening going to a musical, like going to drama school, because, you know, like I went, oh yeah, a lot of personality. I went from a very, very tiny performing arts high school. Like my graduating class was like 12 people, being like, I am one of hair flick. I am one of the most talented singers here. And then going into a musical theater degree, and that very first day when we all had to get up on stage and sing, and I just literally went, well, shit.
Yeah.
There are a lot of us.
There's a lot of talented people. We're all really good. Yep.
Well, shit. And that's when I think it really kind of went, oh, this is this industry. This is going to be hard. But never for a moment did I actually want to quit being in the industry. There were moments where I was like, why am I doing this? But not for a moment did I ever think, no, I just can't do this anymore.
I think as well, with even this industry, and it's tough, but most industries are. You just have to not give up and you have to have that passion and drive. If you don't, then it's probably not the right profession for you because it's quite tough.
And you do have to think about why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And there are definitely, there's no wrong answer, but there is definitely like things where you do have to sit down and be like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And for me, it's always been a passion of performing and creating. Like I've always been a creative person. And for me, just singing or acting just to like get out my emotions and just to, the passion that you feel performing or creating, it's just like, I was like, I can direct this all into theater and to writing, and I know that I'm going to feel fulfilled in my life by doing that.
It's definitely the fulfillment.
Yeah, no.
So what I feel like a good thing to touch on for everyone to get to know a bit more about, you know, what we've done, maybe what was your favorite role that you've ever played?
Oh God. Okay. I'm going to do a theater role and a, like a straight play role, because I do both. Oh God. I mean, I know what my favorite play role is because it's the role that I've played twice now and I've learned so much from playing the role, but my favorite role in a play was Abigail in The Crucible, which was actually at Campbelltown Theatre Company.
I know.
That was just, I did it when I was in high school and I was very young and I was kind of like, oh, she's such like a evil witchy person. And then doing it again at the beginning of last year, I was like, oh, there is so much more to her. And whilst she is the villain, she's also not. And she's also almost a villain without a reason. She just enjoys chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not often cast as the evil character.
No. Tori is not evil, guys. Just very
So for me to be cast as something evil, it was just very different.
Mm.
Oh, God, my favorite musical.
Yeah, what's your favorite musical role? Because I know you've done a lot of plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, it's really hard. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've played my musical theater, like my favorite musical role yet. Like, I've done shows that I love very, very much. But I don't know if I've played my favorite role yet in theatre. I mean, I loved playing Celeste 2 in Sunday in the Park with George. She was a lot of fun. Yes. She was just a cute little quirky character.
She was so funny. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We did that show together and, oh, my God, it was so funny.
I mean, probably a favorite production I've done would be Tales of Fourvo with Reprise. That was...
Yeah.
It just taught me so much about... people in this industry and like not fighting against each other,
working with each other
mm. and helping each other, just not fighting against each other.
Definitely.
What about you?
I think so. Theater wise I haven't actually done a lot of plays. I did a couple of plays in high school. I definitely been thinking about delving into the world of plays as well. But I haven't really done some since high school. I don't think they really count. They weren't, you know. I did the Popular Mechanicals. That was probably my favorite one, which is actually a spin-off of Shakespeare's... what's the show called again? A Midsummer Night's Dream. There we go. A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah.
So that was definitely my favorite. It was so funny. And I have a really good bedtime story about this one. But I'm going to save it because, guys, you're going to want to hear this. Anyway, my musical theater one, I think, if anyone is listening who knows me, they'll know what mine is.
Let
me guess.
Did she wear blue?
Oh my God, yeah. So I played Veronica in Heathers. That was definitely a huge highlight for me because it was such a challenge. I think I definitely knew that I wanted to play this role. I definitely know I could. And when I got the opportunity to do it, then comes the, oh my God, you don't leave the stage and you have to sing very high for the whole thing.
It's definitely an intense role.
Yeah. And
she goes through a lot in that show.
Definitely. I learned so much about myself. I had to get really fit for it because it was so like the stamina for it. And I learned so much vocally. And I feel like now I could sing that show better because you learn so much even in a short time. So, yeah, but I definitely am still striving to do some more of my favorite dream roles. Definitely.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a thing of like, I know there is auditions coming up soon for one of my dream shows and for a dream role. And it's that thing of like, I want to do that show so bad, but I would love to do it on a professional scale. But will I get that opportunity? And that's should I just take this while I can? And of course, I do have to even get into the show to begin with.
Definitely. It's competitive at all levels as well. Like, yeah. It is competitive in amateur theatre, in pro-am theatre, in professional theatre. You could be someone who's university theatre. And you could be someone that's doing university theatre or amateur musicals, and you could get into a professional show. Yeah. I mean, I think Sydney, for me, I was from the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
The Gold Coast has like two theatres.
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on. I mean, there is some more development actually happening now with my old singing teacher. He's doing a lot of great work down up there. But it's, yeah, coming to Sydney was such an eye-opener for me.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, there is so much theatre, but also good theatre. People are wanting to make good theatre. You have a lot of young people wanting to direct and create. There's so many new independent theatre companies coming up and being created from university theatres. Some really great stuff coming out of the university theatre and them coming together as groups. So it's pretty cool.
I think... Yeah, there's a lot more in Sydney than in some other places. But I guess when you compare the scale of, like, the Sydney independent theatre compared to, like,
America? New York.
Yeah.
It is like, it is literally the size of like a penny compared to the amount of independent theater that happens elsewhere around the world.
So now we're actually going to do a rapid fire question round.
Just to get to know us a little bit more. And I know that Libby has prepared her questions.
I have prepared. I'm very prepared.
And I have not. So I'm just going to hopefully.
She's like, all right.
Think of some.
We'll see if you can think of them off the bat. All right. Yeah. I'm going to go first.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay. How rapid fire is this? I don't know. Okay. We'll see how it goes.
I think we'll start.
At a pace.
Yeah, yeah.
At a pace.
We'll go at a pace.
All right. First question. Do you like Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Okay. Look, that is very...
Rapid fire, okay, Tori.
Okay. I grew up with like Cats and stuff like that. There are shows of his that I really like, shows of his that I'm like, oh, not great. Right now, I am on like a very even playing field with him with the new Cinderella with Carrie Hope Fletcher.
Ooh, yep.
And I'm like, ooh, keen to see it. I don't want him to ruin it though. But I do think he is a great producer.
Great.
Your turn. Oh, shit. What did you think of Cats the movie?
I didn't actually see Cats the movie, but I'm very keen to see it. I know, scandal, did not see Cats, really wanted to see it to see what the hype was about, but had not seen it. So when it is on DVD, you and I will do a Cats night.
Oh yeah, I've seen it and there is a review on my YouTube channel. If you're interested, let me know. I had some interesting thoughts and opinions on that one.
All right, a show you wanted to see, but you haven't seen.
Oh, a show I wanted to see, but I haven't seen. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Ooh.
That was a show that I fell in love with very much when listening to it for the first time. Oh, wait, no, Hadestown. Oh, shit.
That's too many good ones.
Okay, Hadestown. I'm going to go with Hadestown because just the story and the music of that show, and it breaks my heart.
All right, your turn.
What's a show you would always have wanted to see but never have?
Dear Evan Hansen. Oh, Dear Evan Hansen. I really want to see it. Want to see that. Yeah, Dear Evan Hansen.
Definitely, it's definitely worth seeing. And I think regardless of the cast, if it's been cast correctly, it's
oh, beautiful.
Real
Jordan Jordan Fisher. Is that
Jordan Fisher? Yeah, he's currently playing Evan.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready for the videos.
Yeah.
All right. So your Broadway crush.
Oh, my Broadway crush. Straight away, I know who that is. Jeremy Jordan. Oh, be still my beating heart. He's such a little cutie and like a little geek, and he's going to be playing what's the character? He's going to be in Little Shop of Horrors.
Seymour?
Yeah, he's going to be playing Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, can't wait to see that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, your dream role.
Dream role? Elphaba in Wicked.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I mean, like, generic.
No. I think it's, whilst it's a generic answer, like, there is always that kind of one role where you're like, if I got the opportunity, I would take it in a heartbeat.
Take it in a minute. All right. Worst musical you've seen?
Worst musical I've seen?
Yeah.
Oh, it is an Andrew Lloyd Webber, actually. What was it called?
Did we see it together?
No, I saw it. It was at, oh, God, what is it called? Whistle Down the Wind.
Whistle Down the Wind?
I'm pretty sure that's what it was called, Whistle Down the Wind.
Oh, wow.
Which had nothing to do with the production I saw. I don't think I was a super big fan of the book itself.
100%. All right, last question.
Worst musical you've seen, actually. Worst musical you've seen.
Oh, this is a hard one. I feel like... Okay, there was a musical that I saw the other day, which is cool. Not saw, but like I was online and I was like looking up things, and it's Escape to Margaritaville. Okay, everyone go watch that. It's so like...
Actually, that was on Broadway when I went and the same time that I saw Big Fish, and because we were considering going to see that.
Oh my God. Yeah, so that one, and also I'm gonna be controversial and say If Then. I feel like... Idina Menzel.
It has to be done right.
It has to be done with Idina Menzel. It was written for Idina Menzel, and I feel like it's really hard. It's got some great moments in there. It could be really good, but it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I definitely agree.
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening in today. That is the conclusion of our first podcast.
Ta-da!
So I hope you did enjoy. And of course, if you have any thoughts, feelings, opinions, feedback, feel free to either jump over onto our Instagram, check it out.
We are new to this, so if you've got any thoughts or feelings about what you want us to talk about, if you went, oh, I'd love for them to go into more depth about that or this different topic.
Or even the technical stuff. If it sounded awful on your end, we're sorry. We're new. We've got one mic to work with.
And we just want to say a massive shout out to Kate, who has actually done our artwork for our podcast. And it's so amazing. We're completely stoked with it. So if you guys want to check her out and get any work by her, her art account is Another Average Art Account on Instagram.
Yeah, she did an amazing, amazing job of that podcast art. We love it. Every We're time so we happy. Saw updates on it, it was just like amazing. So a massive, massive thank you and shout out to Kate. But anyway, thank you so, so much for listening. This was PS, Meet Me at Stage Door, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.